This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Dave Brown, and this is a podcast version of AMI's morning show, Now with Dave Brown. Catch the live broadcasts weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m. Eastern on AMI Audio and AMI TV. Welcome back. It's Now with Dave Brown on AMI. Let's get to a preview of The Guardian this week, which, of course, you can find that whole program Saturdays at noon Eastern on AMI Audio. Of course, that features readings from the pages of The Guardian newspaper. Don Dickinson is the producer of that program and is here now to give you a preview of a few of this week's articles. Hey, good morning, Don.
Good morning, Dave. How are you?
I'm well. Nice to chat with you once again. As always, you brought us a couple of very interesting articles just to give us an amuse-bouche of what's coming up this weekend on the show. So let's jump into the first one. And it's one that I think there's probably some self-evidence to this article, but it's really kind of jarring when you get into some of the finer details. Most of the resources that UK hospitals are devoting to COVID-19 are being strained on people who've not had their vaccination jab. So, Don, the respiratory specialist that wrote this opinion piece is annoyed. Why?
Well, what I found interesting about this is that this gentleman, of course, is in the trenches. And, you know, we forget when we're so removed from it how difficult that situation may be. So he says, and this is a direct quote, "Watching the mix of patients coming in with COVID feels like nobody has been vaccinated these days." And of course, this is not the case, because the people that have been vaccinated are getting on with their lives. You know, they're doing things and they're at home and things are back to normal for them. If everyone got vaccinated, the hospitals in the UK we'd be under much less pressure. And this is beyond debate, he said. Your clinic, your wait for your clinic, your appointments, your operation, your diagnostic tests, all of these things would be much, much shorter. Mm. Your ambulance would arrive sooner. Reports of the pressure on the NHS are not exaggerated. I promise you, he says.
So one of the things that's emerged here in the last couple of months is, beyond the vaccine, we are seeing some new treatments available for people without COVID antibodies. So what are some of the medications or treatments that were highlighted in this article?
Yeah, this was entirely new to me. I didn't even realize this existed. The NHS has recently rolled out a new medication for patients without antibodies against COVID. However, it costs £2,000.
Oh my gosh.
And that, yeah. And that equates to $3,375. And that's per treatment, Dave, and is subject to a rigorous and time-consuming approval process for every single case. And guess what? Which patients don't have antibodies. So this is the case where it's very expensive. It is there. It is available, right? But mm-hmm. money is being spent, a great deal of money is being spent on people that haven't being vaccinated.
Yeah, we've seen a couple of different medications moving forward here. Merck, I know, has put out their antiviral pill that's being used as a treatment. We also have AstraZeneca trying to come forward with a preventative style pill. It's fascinating to see some of these big pharma companies coming forward with these solutions sort of beyond the vaccine. Because one of the things that we saw in the early days of COVID-19 is there really was no treatment. We really had no capacity to offer any kind of treatment to people beyond just sort of oxygen. So it is nice to see this, but as you point out, it's very, very expensive. Okay, Don, this next question is probably a bit of a controversial one because it ends up more into the space of ethics. But in this article, or in this opinion piece, the specialist does offer a justification on why those who've chosen not to get vaccinated should still receive treatment.
Yes, and I thought, you know, this was very fair of him. He says directly, "I have never felt any ambivalence about treating smokers without judgment in exactly the same way as people with diseases caused from smoking. Those diseases, of course, have been self-inflicted, right? Enshrined in the way that we protect patients' autonomy is the recognition that others may reasonably make decisions we may see as irrational or wrong. We are all products of our upbringing, our education, and our opportunities. And I have been hugely fortunate that in my case, these have led me to make decisions that I value. So he's being quite fair about this, but at the same time saying that, you know, these unvaccinated people are taking up a huge amount of resources, and those resources are taking away basically from the general public.
It's a very good faith argument that he's making in this piece. And I think it's one that folks should make the time to tune in on noon on Saturday to give it a full listen. Because, of course, Dawn, we're just giving the broad strokes here. The full opinion piece is a really fascinating one, and one that folks should tune in to listen to the whole thing, because it is a really excellent, well thought out, good faith argument. And I think that as passions have really risen in conversations around vaccinated versus unvaccinated and who deserves what and what access to they get, I think that we need to be having these robust conversations with good faith. And this piece, unsurprisingly, in The Guardian does just that. Hey, Dawn, let's jump over to something else here, which this one's a little bit cuter and a little bit funnier, but there is, you know, there is a kind of bigger, broader underlying picture here. Westminster City Council says electrification of the district's historic gas streetlights is better for the environment and maintenance. But some residents, not in my backyard, they oppose the move. So what does the plan to switch over to electricity entail exactly?
Yeah, I did, as you say, it's a lighter story, but I chose
no pun intended.
It's so very British, this story, you know. So 2 centuries after the first gas lights appeared on the streets of London, casting a romantic glow through the gloom, a few hundred remain in some of the most historic areas of the capital. But not for long. Westminster City Council is planning to convert 299 gas lights to electricity, saying that LED lights are environmentally better and easier to maintain.
So this is one of these moments, right, where there's a historic component to these lights, which always gets residents and their hackles up. Believe me, I lived in Ottawa. The public consultation meetings are endless. Who's opposing the plan?
Well, the plan is being opposed by a group of residents who claim that the city's reasons are somewhat spurious, and that the campaign is supported by the architectural historian Dan Cruikshank, who said the introduction of gas street lights in the early 9th century transformed city life and was a significant moment in the history of London. So, of course, as you said, there's a lot of nostalgia associated with this, a lot of history, and a lot of people just don't want that to change, Dave. Mm.
How is the city combating some of those concerns of perhaps losing some of the historical lineage or cultural fabric of the neighborhood?
Yes, well, the council plans to electrify the gas lights over a 2-year period, so it's not going to be an instantaneous thing. And partly in response to, as they've said, climate emergency, they want to emphasize that, right? And, you know, they want to appeal to everybody's good faith about the climate. It says its replacement LED lights will replicate the aesthetic of the gas lighting and do not significantly alter the look or feel of the area. A spokesman said the council also had a duty to keep the street lighting in good working order and maintain light levels to a set standard. And unfortunately, gas lighting is increasingly difficult to maintain and does not provide significant light to illuminate the highways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like where you phrase the way they phrase that, Dawn, because there is a design component to this, right? It's not just saying, oh, we're replacing these with overhead fluorescent lights and like, so sad, too bad. There are ways that you can really lean into this. I mentioned the Ottawa reference. One of the big battles going on right now is Chateau Laurier, right? Chateau Laurier is this beautiful historic building. They're trying to renovate into a new hotel to make it look nice, but people are concerned they're losing some of the towers or some of the castle-esque design of the Chateau Laurier. And it always makes me think, like, guys, this isn't that hard. It's not that hard to sort of keep a castle aesthetic and make it modern. You know, it shouldn't be that hard to keep the gaslight aesthetic and make it modern and energy efficient.
Yeah, absolutely. I remember when we replaced our fireplace downstairs with gas, and my husband was just like, "Oh no, it won't have the same feel, and it won't look the same." And they put an insert in there. Honest to God, Dave, it is just amazing. I mean, it looks like a real fireplace, you know. I was so pleased.
Dawn, you know the battle we're going to end up having in a couple of Canadian cities, Vancouver and Gastown, Montreal and Old Montreal, Quebec City and Old Quebec. The next thing is going to be the cobblestones, right? Because as far as an accessibility point of view goes, cobblestones are a disaster, but they are aesthetically so pleasing.
Oh, so beautiful. So beautiful.
Yeah. Anyway, so again, like these are battles that we're going to be having consistently. Battles. I shouldn't phrase it as battles. These are conversations and changes that we're going to be having over the course of the next decade, couple decades, whether we're in the Westminster neighborhood of London or whether we're in downtown Montreal, Toronto, Vancouver, etc. Hey, Dawn, it was so great to chat with you once again. Thank you for bringing us these interesting stories. Can't wait to hear the whole show on Saturday.
Okay, Dave. Take care.
You've been listening to Now with Dave Brown. Hit the subscribe button on any podcast platform and leave us a rating and a review.